dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the people who brings incredible intelligence to bear on matters involving that war and much more is our first guest. She is a woman who is, well, an extraordinary resource in so many media. She is a Fox News analyst, the columnist and editor at the Washington Times, a New York Times bestseller, notably for What the Bleep Just Happened, her books on Nixon in Winter and Nixon Off the Record. She is the host of her own radio program. She is, of course, the fabulous Dr. Monica Crowley. Dr. Crowley, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Frank. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
You have been very firm about the dangers that we're facing from what I think of as the global jihad movement. And I'd like to get your sort of after-action report on what we saw Friday in Paris and what is happening more broadly in Europe and, for that matter, elsewhere around the world.
Frank, immediately after the attacks, one of the things that I kept hearing over and over again was the word shocking. Everybody was talking about how shocked they were and how shocking these attacks were and how they absolutely couldn't believe it. And while I understand the trauma and the shock of experiencing an attack like this firsthand, because I was in New York City on September the 11th, 2001, I thought that the use of the word more broadly was inappropriate, because how, after all of these years, after decades, after Osama bin Laden first declared war on the United States and the West, how can we still be, quote, shocked by any of this? One of the things that the enemy always does, and I don't care what enemy we're talking about, but here specifically, the Islamic jihadi enemy always tells you who they are, what they believe, what they intend to do, and how they intend to behave. They never cloud it, they never cloak it, they never disguise it. They always tell you exactly who they are. And I'll recall the famous and now late American poet Maya Angelou once said, in a different context, but it applies here, she said, when someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time. And yet, time and again, Frank, and you have written so eloquently and powerfully about this, our good friend Andy McCarthy wrote a whole book on this called Willful Blindness. Time and again, the Western mind does not want to see the truth about this enemy. And so when attacks like this happen after decades, after millennia of the enemy telling us who they are and what they intend to do, we're still, quote unquote, shocked by this. And that is in large part the problem. If we continue this willful blindness, Frank, we're sunk.
Yeah, Monica, you know, I'm not sure that you can fight it effectively if you can't identify what it is and what its objectives are and how it is going to conduct itself. And I think that you're absolutely right. The thing that is shocking is that here, 14 some years on, we continue at the highest levels of the United States government and to varying degrees other allied governments to obscure from our people the true nature of the enemy. And I just want to ask in particular, Monica, because it's becoming very hot at the moment, as you know, is you're hearing, in addition, the United States government, the president and his immediate subordinates saying that notwithstanding the evidence that there was surely some involvement in this attack by people who had managed to get into Europe for the purpose of conducting these kinds of jihadist assaults, namely refugees or migrants that have been accommodated in Europe, that notwithstanding that evidence, the United States government is going to continue to bring refugees from Syria. And we're assured rather blithely, I think, that we'll be able to vet out are there any jihadists among them. What are your thoughts on that? And whether I'm right in thinking that a really shocking bit of business.
Yeah. What we are seeing now is the murder-suicide of Europe, and soon to come to our shores, the murder-suicide of the United States. This is the murder-suicide of the West. This is the global jihadi movement. What you are seeing happening across Central and Western Europe is not a refugee crisis, Frank. In fact, I'm going to write my column in the Washington Times about this and about what I witnessed, because several weeks ago, I was in Central Europe. I was in Vienna. I went to the Vienna train station as well as the main refugee camp about 20 minutes outside of Vienna to see this for myself. At least 10,000 people coming into that train station a day at the time. That has not subsided. What you're seeing here, this is not a refugee crisis. This is an invasion. This is what in Islam is referred to as hijrah. Hijrah is a core part of jihad. No weapons necessary to this point. Why? Because this is conquest through migration, which goes all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad, of course. This is what we are seeing. Are there some people fleeing the Syrian war and persecution? Sure, but they are the distinct minority. Only 10% of those coming into Europe are Syrian in origin. The rest are coming from North Africa and the rest of the Middle East. This is an invasion. This is an Islamic Trojan horse. And to have this administration talk about taking in, well, 10,000 over the last couple of days, but then their target goal is 200,000. And you know, Frank, when it comes to this administration, that's just the beginning. And by the way, there is no screening process. I was listening to Senator Lindsey Graham and John McCain. There is no screening process, Frank.
And when you hear Monica Crowley, that the FBI director is saying he's got, last I heard, was something like 900 cases in all 50 states in which the Islamic State is implicated. This is simply national security fraud, isn't it? That we're being told not to worry, we'll bring them in, we can sort them, we can assure that there aren't jihadists among them. It really raises a question in my mind whether what we're being told here isn't really tantamount to treason.
Yes, and now you're seeing other people, including presidential candidates like Donald Trump and others, raising objections to this process. This program already existed. You've written extensively about it, talked about it, Frank, the refugee resettlement program here in the United States, where you have had, you can put an exact number on it, over 100,000, hundreds of thousands have already come in from the Middle East and elsewhere, that from suspect countries, of course. And we don't keep tabs on them once they're here. That's what struck me in Europe as well, that they were coming in, there were no restraints or constraints on their location or behavior once here, or their whereabouts. Nobody knew where they were going. They all said, well, we'd like to go to Germany. Who knows? So they were able to float around Europe without being watched. And the problem is that that is already now happening here in the United States. It is absolutely outrageous. But the reason now that they have the protection is because, number one, they're under the guise of being refugees, political refugees, trying to flee war and persecution. So they're a protected class. But they're also a protected class because we have a First Amendment that protects religion. So under the guise of being Muslims, now they're protected in their mosques and elsewhere. What we have to wake up to, Frank, is that Islam is not strictly a religion. It is a totalitarian political system with religious elements to it. And until we wake up to that fact, we're not going to be able to fight this war in the way it needs to be fought.
Leslie, let me just ask you, Monica, because you're a close student of this going back to your days with Richard Nixon. Your assessment of whether, as the world looks at this president's conduct, it is essentially open season. Is that overstating the case as you see it?
Not at all. In fact, yesterday in Turkey, Barack Obama and Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, sat by a coffee table and spoke for about 30 minutes. And they're calling it the unplanned coffee table summit, which was largely arranged as a photo op by Valerie Jarrett out of the White House. After that, what's reported is that Vladimir Putin rolled his eyes and laughed at the American president. how fundamentally immature and naive the American president was. That has been reported. That's not new. We know that Putin, the Iranians, the Chinese, the ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, the entire array of American enemies and enemies of Western civilization, the enemies of Israel, they all look at this president as a 98-pound weakling, and they have gone to town around the world. We know the lessons of history. We've seen this happen before. When the United States is weak in real terms or perceived as weak, the enemies of freedom advance, the good guys retreat, and the wheels come off the world.
Monica Crowley, thank you so much for your comments and your extraordinary work in so many media, as well as periodically here. Come back to us again very soon, if you will. Next up, Zvi Kahn will talk with us about the Iran deal and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.